Get your fill of variety right here on Giant 90.9.
It's 7:45 here on Giant 90.9. And that can only mean one thing. Your host, Owen Pulley, is alongside Maxwell Gillian, Lucas McKee in HD1 Studios. And it's time for the Sports Spotlight! Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. It's been a minute since we've been on air, but we're back. We're ready for some sports news. It's our first show since the NFL draft, and we're going to talk about that first. But first, I'm with my guest, or not with my guest, my co-hosts, I should say, Max Gilley and Lucas McKee. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing good. I'm glad that the draft process is finally over. The Colts got who we wanted. Everything is fine now, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm having a great day, first of all, and the Colts got who they wanted, who I wanted the Colts to get since February. So I'm very excited, very happy. A couple more steals in the draft as well from the Colts, and I think the season should be good, exciting, and excited to see the season as well.
I'm very excited for the Anthony Richardson pickup there, but first, we're going to go through really the first top 10 picks and kind of go through them all, and that includes the Colts pick. We're going to start off with the first overall pick for the Carolina Panthers, Bryce Young, quarterback out of Alabama. I think that's going to be a good fit for Carolina. I think that Bryce Young is a little undersized right now, but, I mean, I think they can work with him and work with his height.
I mean, when you look at the NFL, you see these guys just completely get changed. I don't know what they're able to do in the offseason, but he'll definitely be ready. We've seen that the new crop of Alabama quarterbacks are actually very talented. I'd expect Bryce Young to join that great list of Alabama quarterbacks who we've had in the league as of recent. So it's going to be interesting to see what he can do. This was not a surprise at all.
Yeah, this was, like Max said, not a surprise. I'm actually really excited to see Bryce Young in a Carolina Panthers jersey, especially with Adam Thielen there and what Carolina's got going on. But I think that's going to be a nice fit with Frank Reich as well. He's not going to have to rely on his size too much anyway. So I think that's a perfect fit for Carolina. It was expected. So everyone saw that coming.
With the second pick, we saw C.J. Stroud, a guy that a lot of people thought was gonna go to the first overall pick to the Panthers, but got that 18% on the quarterback quiz. I wonder if that dropped him a little bit, probably to the Texans. But C.J. Stroud to the Houston Texans, another AFC South guy that the Colts are gonna have to worry about for years to come.
Yeah, I think C.J. Stroud. This wasn't too much of a surprise to me. I know there was a lot of talks of Houston taking Will Anderson with the second overall pick, but I was like, it really could be 50-50 here. They're either going Will Anderson or C.J. Stroud, so I wasn't too surprised on C.J. Stroud. I think that's going to be a nice fit there. It's just a little unfortunate he had to go to the AFC South because it's in the Colts division, and I think C.J. Stroud's a great quarterback.
I mean, when we look at C.J. Stroud, he's a good quarterback. Yes, Houston, with this draft, got some pieces, but overall, I'm just truly still not, frankly, scared of Houston at all. They have a whole lot that they need to get fixed.
Absolutely.
This isn't going to be fixed by the draft. When they have a new coach, a lot of new faces there as well. I think I saw the roster, and when you see ESPN, you see the headshots, and I think 50% of that Houston team, it just was wearing completely different uniforms other than Houston. They have a lot of turnaround for that team, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
So, Lucas, you said that it was going to be 50-50 if the Colts got C.J. Stroud or Will Anderson.
They ended up taking both.
They ended up got both. They traded with the Arizona Cardinals for the third overall pick and picked up the linebacker from Alabama and Will Anderson Jr.
Absolute. That was just such a great move by the Texans. They played that well with the talks of the Will Anderson. Anderson going second overall, just to have other teams' hopes for C.J. Stroud to fall to them, and they end up taking C.J. Stroud. And then other teams are like, oh, cool, Will Anderson. And the Texans say, nope, take both of them. I think the Texans played that very smart, very aggressive as well. They're trying, so even if these two players don't work out, it just shows that they are trying, because not a lot of teams will do that. So I think Will Anderson, though, is going to be a great fit for Houston as well.
I'm just really excited to see him in the league, except when he plays the Colts, of course, then we're going to pretend that we don't like him at all. But, no, I'm excited to see what he can bring to Houston. I do think that they are going to be much better. I don't think that they're going to be making it to the playoffs. They may still for sure have a low draft pick next season, but I don't think that they're going to be in the top three. I think that they should be improving next season.
Yeah, I definitely think that they're on the up right now, and they're going to be a team to watch out for years to come. But with the fourth pick in the NFL draft, the Indianapolis Colts selected Anthony Richardson, quarterback out of Florida. And I'm so excited when I heard that name instead of Will Levis, the second rounder Will Levis, which I'm not saying that draft pick is whatever round you go in is going to mark your career forever. I mean, look at Tom Brady. As of right now, look at Brock Purdy. But, you know, I was super excited to see that the Colts picked up Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I think this was a better pickup over Levis, just because we haven't seen a quarterback this athletically gifted at their position, at the quarterback position, like with this size and talent since Cam Newton, and we saw what Cam Newton could do. So this is, I understand it's a little bit of a gamble because he didn't play too much college, but if this guy booms, he's really a superstar Hall of Fame quarterback. So that's just. The real upside, Anthony Richardson. I think he really, really got it. He's humble. Sounds like he's ready to put in all the work. I'm excited for this guy.
I mean, when we look at Anthony Richardson for the Colts, you talked about it being a gamble, but the biggest thing is the Colts, they need to start taking some gambles. They've been too safe. That's why they kept getting those veteran quarterbacks. So
exactly.
I was excited to see them get Anthony Richardson. Now, I'm not going to say that the Colts are going to the Super Bowl, okay? That's not going to happen. The goal this season should just be a playoffs. And
exactly.
Based on some of the other draft picks they had, I think that the Colts are looking much better, and I do think that bare minimum should be a wild card appearance for sure.
Colts going to the Super Bowl, Max.
I think the goal for every team is to go to the Super Bowl, but for fans, for Colts fans, the goal for us is just hope that they make the playoffs. But the Colts team, I know their goal is to make the Super Bowl.
I mean, if you're in the league, you have to want to make it to the Super Bowl. Otherwise, why are you?
Yeah, right. Otherwise, why are you playing?
Other than money, of course. But even then, True. It's not worth it if you're just there overall, for no reason.
The fifth overall pick surprised me, Owen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Devin Witherspoon, the cornerback out of Illinois. And that was from the Denver trade. And that trade,
that
absolutely fleeced Denver, getting Russell Wilson. Denver did, and then got rid of their pick, Geno Smith. Anyway, fifth overall pick.
So I thought Jalen Carter was going to go right here. Surprised Jalen Carter fell.
He fell to ninth.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought Jalen Carter was going to go right here, but I see what Seattle's doing. I think they're trying to make a Legion of Boom too. They got the guys for it. They're getting the guys for it. So I think it was a smart move, I guess. I still think I would have taken Jalen Carter, but I do see what they're doing.
One of the biggest things I think that caused Carter to fall, obviously, was the controversy. And I just think Seattle may have wanted to avoid that, similar to other teams. But no, I'm intrigued what Seattle's going to be looking like. They have some great stars. I know they're in a difficult NFC West. If they were in any other division, I think that they'd be much more competitive. But this was a good draft pick. I can't believe that we had an Illinois football player get drafted that high. That I didn't think was going to happen. But as we saw, Illinois has been doing much better over the past few seasons. So it's interesting for sure. I'm excited to see how he's going to turn out.
Yeah, I'm excited too as well. I think this is a really good draft class. And in the sixth pick, the Arizona Cardinals take offensive tackle from Ohio State, Paris Johnson Jr. I think that's going to be a good pickup there from the Rams via Detroit. So that Matt Stafford, Jared Goff trade a couple of years ago is finally coming into full effect with Paris Johnson Jr.
Yeah, it's a great pick and all, but that guy is a big man, and I don't know if Kyler Murray is going to be able to see over him. But not for real. That's going to be a great fit for the Cardinals because they need a little more O-line depth. Not too surprised, but at the same time, I didn't really see Cardinals going anywhere else with this besides the offensive side of the ball.
I mean, when we look at a prospect like Kyler Murray, he is going to be the real deal. He got hurt last year. They definitely needed to boost that O-line, and I think that as we saw based on the linemen from Ohio State, a lot of them making it to the NFL, it's clear that Ohio State has some great linemen, and it's clear that he's going to do well with the Cardinals.
And with the Raiders pick, they pick up Tyree Wilson with the 7th overall, a defensive end from Texas Tech.
When I was watching the draft, I called this. This was Tyree Wilson is a great player. I was watching, obviously, before the draft, a lot of like draft prospects. So I was able to watch a few of his highlights, and that guy's gonna be something serious. And the Raiders, I think the Raiders, they got a good pick right there. They got an amazing pick right there.
I'm really intrigued with this Raiders team. I think they are a team that this offseason is seeming to do and look much better. I know, obviously, big news was Jimmy G.
Yeah.
And he's shown that he can be successful. I still don't trust him that much, to be completely honest, as a starting quarterback. But it's going to be interesting to see what he can bring there. And again, the biggest issue with them, similar to the NFC West, the AFC West is still going to be so competitive. So I think that can probably be a hindrance for the Raiders. But no, this is going to be a good draft pick for them, and hopefully he can play well.
Another good draft pick, in my opinion, that they got was the pick from the Indianapolis Colts, pick 35 in the 2nd round. They got tight end Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame. I think that's a great pickup. I think that he's going to be a great offensive player in the future. But anyway, with the 8th pick, Bijan Robinson.
Surprising. This pick,
Bijan Robinson.
Absolutely. The Falcons must hope, the Falcons draft room that night were either hoping that this guy is either Barry Sanders or
Emmitt Smith,
one of the greatest running backs of all time. It's in order to take him 8th overall. When you have other needs on that team. Very surprising pick. I mean, I still think B.J. Robinson was the best prospect in this draft, but I do think it's a surprising pick that's where he ended up landing. I really thought the Falcons were taking Jalen Carter right there. I was so, like, I had no thoughts in my mind Robinson was going right there. I was like, oh, this is Jalen Carter without a doubt. And then when Robinson's name got called, I was just in shock. But he's a great prospect, so he's going to be a good player for the Falcons. Just very surprising how quick he got drafted.
Well, you realize that Jalen Carter is a defensive player from Georgia, and you know Philly loves those defensive players from Georgia. So I think they kind of –
Philadelphia
Sirianni,
Bulldogs.
Yeah, Sirianni kind of sent out something. He was like, hey, don't draft this guy. Let us draft him.
Yeah, probably. He was like, I want to draft like 6 more Bulldogs.
But yeah, with the 9th pick, the Philadelphia Eagles select Jalen Carter, defensive tackle out of Georgia, and that was with the Chicago and the Carolina trade as well, so he got thrown into there, but another Georgia Bulldog heading to that defensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles. And Lucas, I know you're really high on Jalen Carter. What do you think his career is going to be like?
I think with the chemistry now, with all the other Bulldogs that are there that Eagles have been taking and took, you know, you got Jordan Davis, who was in with the Bulldogs last year, or 2 years ago, and got drafted last year. So I think it's going to be fun to see them paired up back together, and it's going to be just fun to watch because they're going to have that chemistry.
I mean – The Eagles are a team that you did not want to see get improved in the offseason, and clearly a pick like this is definitely going to help them. I mean, Carter was supposed to be a for sure top five pick. I know he slipped a little bit just because of the controversy, of course. But, hey, you know what? Eagles got a steal, man. I really think they did well in this draft, and that's a scary sight for an Eagles team that just made the Super Bowl. And, oh, by the way, they're keeping their quarterback. And it's obviously sure. that they're going to try and keep him for the long haul by the amount they're paying him.
Yep. I know you said there's one more. Never mind. I didn't realize we were already one at nine.
Yeah, and the 10th pick, the Chicago Bears select Darnell Wright, offensive tackle out of Tennessee. And that Tennessee team this year was pretty good. Unfortunately, what happened to Hendon Hooker with that injury that he had mid-season, that wasn't great for them. But you know, I think that Tennessee is really gonna miss Darnell Wright with the Chicago Bears.
I mean, when we look at that Tennessee team, truly had Hendon Hooker not gone out, there's a great chance we were for sure seeing Tennessee in the playoffs. They were going to be a lock over TCU, so it was interesting to see the amount of volunteers that made it to the league. I forget who got Hendon Hooker, but they got a steal for sure.
The Lions.
That's who it was, and I was surprised that the Lions chose him. But, yeah, they're getting a steal for sure with him. I'm excited to see him. The Lions were another team, I think, that had a somewhat decent draft.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. Right after I talk about Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright is a great pickup for the Bears because Justin Fields needs to not run for his life, so he doesn't end up like the next Hendon Hooker or Kyler Murray. So great pickup there. That's going to be fit well. Detroit Lions with the 11th pick picked Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back from Alabama, which was the second most surprising thing, only because not surprising after we found out that the Detroit Lions were trading DeAndre Swift to the Eagles, and that's also Eagles just add another stud to their team, just keep building. But the Lions' first two picks were a little questionable. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be great.
What about Jack Campbell? Pick 18.
Yeah, with the 18th pick, I don't think they really needed a linebacker from Iowa. With the 18th pick,
That Iowa defense was pretty good this season.
Yeah, but I don't think solid. With the 18th pick, Iowa linebacker, he could have fallen. They could have traded up, did some more moves just to get him, but they could have ensured a better pick there. I hope he does great, though, obviously. But the Jahmyr Gibbs was just insane after paying Montgomery that $20 million contract. I think it's going to be a nice fit, though, since there is no longer a DeAndre Swift in the mix. No, there's just two running backs. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to learn behind Montgomery, hopefully make that back a little better. And Hendon Hooker is going to learn behind Jared Goff. And it's going to be a fun Detroit Lions team. I don't think really anybody should hate the Lions. The Lions are a fun team.
And you're listening to Sports Pilot on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. We're discussing the NFL draft. Owen Pauly, Max Gilliatt, and Lucas McKee. One of my favorite picks from the first round overall was the Baltimore Ravens pick with the 22nd overall pick with Zay Flowers, wide receiver out of Boston College. I think that Flowers is going to be a great tool to add to Lamar Jackson for one of his guys to throw to.
I think he's going to be a nice little compliment to OBJ as well. With Zay Flowers, is going to learn with OBJ and from OBJ, I'm assuming. Because I know the veterans like to help just as much as like the coaches actually coach, but Zay Flowers is I'm not too surprised, but a little surprised he fell to 22. I think there was a couple other teams that could have taken him over what they did take, but great pickup for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson is gonna love that, and so is OBJ. Just so OBJ knows he's not under pressure the whole time.
I'm really intrigued to see what the Ravens team is going to look like next season, just because when we looked at the Ravens this year, I didn't truly think that they were ever going to be competitive. So, I mean, yes, they made the playoffs, but even then they still weren't very competitive. Now that they have some decent wide receivers and they're going to have a healthy Lamar Jackson, I'm intrigued for sure to see what the Ravens team is going to be looking like. I don't expect them to be better than the Bengals. I do think they'll still be better than a Pittsburgh team that I don't really know if they had that good of a draft, but it's going to be interesting to see for sure, aside for the AFC North.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what these divisions have to bring in the upcoming years, but, you know, they got to get their reps right now in the NFL draft, or excuse me, in the NFL, but discussing the Colts picks individually, we talked about Anthony Richardson. Julius Brents, the second overall pick.
Cornerback out of Kansas State. That pick because Julius Brents is a local Indy native. He's from Warren, from Indy, went to Warren Central.
Warren Central.
I actually got a chance to he knew people. He was friends with my friend's brother, so I met him when I was young. He obviously doesn't remember that because he was sixth grade. I was first, but it was cool seeing.
Nah, you basically know an NFL guy.
Kinda, but I know, well, Tyrone Tracy, who plays for Purdue, that's who he was friends with. But,
oh, okay.
So it's actually insane because Julius Brents, whenever his name was called, I was kind of a little surprised because, I mean, I have him on social media. I have him on my Snap, so I was like, I went right up and I was just looking at his Snap story. He was getting drafted. I was like, that's actually insane. It's a full circle moment. I remember when he used to play travel football with his friends and the brothers. So it's cool to see Julius Brents, and I think that's a steal too because Julius Brents is a great, great corner.
And one guy that I remember talking about, like full circle and stuff like that. One guy I remember like high fiving his hand when he graduated high school when they did like the walk through the hallway thing was DeJuan Jones, and here I am about to go do the walk through the high school as a senior, and he's going to the NFL draft. So it's pretty cool seeing like hometown guys going to the NFL, and I think that Ben Davis is really, or really Indianapolis as a whole. I mean, we see Reese Taylor, who's an undrafted free agent who won the state championship at quarterback for the Giants in 2017, undrafted free agent to the Kansas City Chiefs as a corner now. But you know, we also see some other guys going. There's a player that went to Ben Davis that went to the Vikings, a couple LC guys, everything like that. Indianapolis represented very well.
We already got one in Ben Davis right now. One Ben Davis, two actually now because of DeJuan Jones. He's playing for Cleveland, and then you got Cincinnati Bengals, Evans,
Chris Evans. Yep. Yeah. Well, there's a guy I keep forgetting his name, but he played at Ben Davis, and he went to Minnesota, and now plays for the Vikings. But the third overall pick 79, Josh Downs, wide receiver from North Carolina,
steal.
And he's going to be paired up nicely with the other wide receivers.
It's just a compliment, too, because of his size. He's like 5'8", 5'9", but he's a compliment because of the tall receivers and Michael Pittman and Alec Pierce. He's going to be a slot receiver. He's going to be fast. He's going to switch in and out with Ashton Doolin. And Isaiah McKenzie is going to be in the slot. He's going to be a great compliment with his speed. Reggie Wayne actually said he was the best wide receiver in the draft class, in his opinion. So I'm excited to see what Reggie Wayne can turn him into.
I mean, when you have someone like Reggie Wayne complimenting you, I think that he's going to for sure be the real deal. I'm just really excited to see, first of all, how many of these rookies are actually going to get to stay on the team, hopefully for a few seasons. But I'm really excited to see this draft class with the Colts. They got a lot of players, but I think they really did a decent job. So props to the Colts.
And we look at round four, two picks. Blake Freeland, the offensive tackle out of BYU, and Adetomiya Adebowore, the defensive tackle out of Northwestern. Pick 106 and pick 110. And the Colts, I mean, you want to talk about getting draft picks. We had the round two pick from Atlanta, the round three pick from Washington, round four pick with pick 110 was from Atlanta via Tennessee. Fifth round pick, they had four fifth round picks. They had pick 138, 158, 162, and 176. And we see Minnesota from Buffalo, from Dallas, and from Minnesota in round seven. And then we see round seven pick 236 from Tampa Bay. So the Colts getting it done on the inside with Chris Ballard.
Just adding depth, getting those picks, getting what we mainly need, or what the Colts mainly need for the first five picks or so. And then after that, it's just really adding depth to the special teams, to just the D-line, O-line, in case anyone gets injured. I like the picks, like the trades. There was trades that were made that we got. The Colts got picks in return and ended up stealing a couple of players from the draft that I really like. So I think the Colts did great with this draft.
Yeah, I think it was a very good draft. I'm excited to see what happens in the future. With that, we're going to go to a quick break. Talk about the NBA playoffs when we come back on the Sports Spotlight on NHJ 90.9.
I'm Chris Jakimic. I served in the United States Air Force, and I deployed 3 times. So in 2017, I was serving as an Air Force First Sergeant. Our motto in that role is, my job is people, everyone is my business. But unfortunately, in that year, I would lose my own brother, Lance Corporal Adam Jakimic, to suicide. The majority of veteran suicides are from guns. I store my weapons securely, not only for myself, but for my family. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide. My service never stops.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Sports Pilot here on Indy's Giant 90.9. Owen Pulley, Maxwell Gillett, and Lucas McKee. We're here talking about the NBA playoffs. The conference semifinals are going on right now. One series has not played a single game yet. One has played two, and the other have played one. The Heat and the Knicks, and starting off with that, Miami really showing why they need to be here, up 1-0 on the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks,
Hemi
pretty
Butler.
Good team right now, but yeah, Hemi, a.k.a. His name isn't even Jimmy anymore, it's just Hemi.
It's Hemi because he's just carrying that team.
He's just him.
Yeah, that guy is something else.
The Heat lead 1-0.
Michael Jordan's long-lost son.
With a 108-101 victory. And they play tomorrow night. Oh, no. Today is the second, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the place today.
Yeah, they played today.
Two great matches today.
But we see the other one, the 76ers and the Celtics. I thought that the Celtics were going to take game one over the Sixers, but they did not. A 4-point victory for the 76ers over the Celtics. They play tomorrow night at 8 p.m., getting into that. And I'm guessing you're talking about the Warriors and the Lakers, the great series starting tonight.
Oh, that's going to be it. The whole seven-game series is going to be great. It's going to be fun to watch.
Because it'll go seven games.
Rematch 2018 playoffs, down 3-1. Come back. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens this time.
Yeah, that'll be on 10 p.m. tonight.
I honestly don't know who's going to win that series, nor do I care, just because Curry and the Warriors just won last season. LeBron doesn't really need to go back to a championship. But it's just, I mean, this isn't for going to the championship. It is to just move on. But still, it's just going to be a great and fun series to watch overall. It's going to be more, I think it's going to be more entertaining than the Kings game. In the Kings series was really entertaining. That was Sabonis and Fox and the whole Kings team, and the atmosphere too, the fans made it entertaining. It was a fun series to watch. I think this is going to be better, though.
I mean, first playoff series since 2002 for the Kings.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are hyping up the LeBron-Curry matchup rematch as well since 2018, so I do think it's going to get a little more hype, and the atmosphere is going to be a lot better. I think it might sell more tickets as well.
It's going to be interesting to see for sure. I think I still got to give advantage to Golden State. I do think the Lakers played a Memphis team that really just in the last few weeks of the season just really collapsed, and it's clear that they did in the playoffs. I mean, when we looked at that last game six, the Lakers won by 40 points.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Dylan
so.
Brooks asked for 40. It's what he got.
He got 40 bombed.
But twice.
Anyway, twice. By a 40-year-old.
Yeah.
So this is my favorite series going on right now. The Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns. The Denver Nuggets lead 2-0.
It's not my favorite
Luke's
series.
Luke's giving me a look right now as they head to Phoenix.
I was so sad. Last night, I was halftime. The first half was great. It was up-pace, tempo. It's just Jokic, man. He just makes some weird shots that should never go in. It's like, how are you? Like, it's like, sometimes when I watch Jokic play, I'm so serious. I'm like, I'm watching a video game.
That's why he's the GOAT. That's why he's the MVP.
Because I'm like, there's no way that went in. You might as well just throw it behind your back between the legs doing a flip and you're going to make it, because you're turning around just – he's pulling up from three. He's not even jumping. He's just like flicking his wrist and it's just nothing but net. Got to give props to the guy. He's a great, great player. Suns are 0-13 all-time when down 2-0 in a seven-game series. So, do I think the Suns are going to win? Absolutely. Just because just because I want them to. I don't have hope right now though until DeAndre Ayton or Chris Paul can start stepping up a little bit. Chris Paul makes some questionable shots sometimes and just misses a lot, but Book and KD didn't really shoot too well last night either for the start of it, but I think Suns win in 7 now.
I got
no bias.
Looking at these series, I have the Heat in 6.
I got Heat in 5.
Maybe Heat in 5. I don't know. Jimmy Butler's been playing really well.
Celtics in 5 as well. Or Celtics in 6, actually, because the Sixers just won last night at Celtics.
In 6.
I think Celtics in 6.
I'm thinking Celtics in 6 or 7. Nuggets in 6. And I'm going to go
Warriors
in 7. I'm going to go Lakers in 7.
I got Warriors. Actually, you know what? Does this go to 7 again? Yeah, it goes to 7. LeBron's pushing it to 7, or Curry's pushing it to 7. One of the two is pushing it to 7. It's going to 7. Warriors win 7th game. It's going to be a fun matchup.
So you have a 5, probably 2 sixes or 2 sevens, and a 6 or 2, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Flip those, either 1 6 and 2 sevens or 1 7 and 2 sixes and 1 5, really. Max, what are your series predictions?
I wish I could pick the Knicks right now, but with Jalen Brunson questionable joining Randall, I do think the Heat are going to get the win there. I think it's going to be Heat in 6. I don't know what it is about this Boston team as of late. I don't really trust them, and especially since the 76ers were able to get the win without Joel Embiid last night, I think it's going to be 76ers getting the upset in 6. Phoenix versus Denver is going to be a really interesting one. I do think that Denver's going to win in 6 as well, just because of the 2-0 lead. But it'd be cool if it went to 7, and then I have the in 7 games the Warriors winning against the Lakers. I just don't trust the Lakers enough this season.
And the thing we saw with the Sixers game is James Harden hit a dagger 3 to win the game.
Man,
it was a very contested shot, and he said, quote, "I practice that shot every day."
James Harden played lights out last night. He showed up with a nice little pregame fit and then showed out for, what was it, 43, 45? 43, I believe.
I think it was, let me check.
I believe it was 43, and I think he tied his all-time.
You said 43?
Or 45. And he tied, let's see. And he tied
James Harden had 45.
Yeah, tied his all-time career high in playoffs points for a game. Did great. The last minute and a half was really intense because it was just back and forth. Both teams scoring either a three or a nice little layup, and then James Harden with the contested shot, he pulled up, and I was like, no, because I did not think he was gonna make it at all. He made it because I honestly don't care who wins this series. I just want to see a good series out of these two, but I do think Celtics win in 6.
I have a friend who's a Suns fan as well, and he thinks that he's going. Another series to talk about. He thinks that the Suns are going in 6 over the
that would mean 4 games in a row for the Suns to win, which is possible.
I mean, they did. They won 4 games in a row.
Yeah, it's possible to do you made me
4 horns in a row?
You made me space out after you said you commented
on the that they've done it before.
Yeah, I forget what I was talking about. What were we talking about?
They won 4 in a row. Because they were playing the Clippers and not the Nuggets, because the Nuggets are way better.
Oh, yeah, I was saying that they would have to win 4 in a row, and I don't see them winning 4 in a row, but they could because the next 2 games are in the Valley. And then, like I said, with the Warriors as well, even though they were down 2-0, they had that momentum and that tempo after the 2 home game wins. So I think that's what's going to happen with Phoenix. I don't think 4 in a row, though. I do think a game 7 will be forced just because of that Nuggets going back to their home. And then I think it'll be a fun series. I do think the Nuggets are probably going to win, though, as much as I don't want to say. I think they'll probably win. But I want to see Suns in a 7-game series just to show the effort, make it fun, make it interesting.
Does Devin Booker have that dog in him?
Absolutely. Devin Booker's been playing great.
He has been playing great.
He's him, really him and KD's the only one that's been playing great.
Chris Paul needs to step up.
A little bit.
But we're going to take a quick break and then come back talking about baseball, professional baseball, and the MLB. That and more on the sports spot. And I need you to join 90.9.
One day, I'll teach chemistry to kids.
I'm going to be an architect.
My dream is to be a chef.
At the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid, we provide more than $150 billion each year in grants, loans, and work study funds, making higher education possible for anyone at any stage of life.
I can go back to college.
I can change careers.
I can make a difference.
Federal Student Aid, proud sponsor of the American Mind. Learn more about money for college at studentaid.gov.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. We talk about Major League Baseball going on, starting off in the American League with the best record in all of the MLB. The Tampa Bay Rays, 23-6. And last time we had an episode, they were undefeated at home. Since then, they have lost two games at the Trop. But they still lead the AL East by 3.5 games. And the Yankees, we talked about them playing a good team. The Yankees have really fallen off. 15-15 there in last place in the AL East. So maybe that's not going to stand the test if they're a good team because, I mean, they're playing the first place Pirates right now. And they have their first game against their series today. So that I think that's truly the game that's going to see if they have it win them.
I mean, MLB is just been crazy this season. I mean, when's the last time that the Pirates were actually decent? It's been a while for sure. So I'm really excited to have seen so far what this young season has brought. The big thing with the Rays, I think they're finally showing what we've been saying since week one, that the Rays had a bit of an easy start. They're still going to be a decent team. I just can't trust them to finish the season off. And I feel like this is going to be one of those seasons where we look back and we're like, remember when the Rays were number one and were doing so decent? Look at them now. They're like second or third in the AL East.
Yeah, I think that they'll be a playoff team. They were a wild card team last year. I think that they have a really good chance to win the division right now. The Orioles are in second place. It's still really early, but the Orioles 8-2 in their last 10, so they're really hot right now. But the AL Central, the Twins in first place, three games ahead of the Guardians, who are 14-15. That AL Central is just really weak right now. We see an 8-win team in the White Sox. We see a 7-win team in the Royals. We see a 10-win team in the Tigers in third place. So really struggling in the AL Central. And the Twins, not that great right now, but I think that they're going to make the playoffs just because of that division not being great as well. In the AL West, the Rangers in first place, a game and a half ahead of the Astros. And in last place there, we see the 6-win worst team in the MLB, the Oakland. Hopefully for the fans that they say Oakland, but maybe not for long, the Oakland Athletics.
Even then, if they become the Vegas Athletics, I don't think that a move to Vegas is going to fix all of their issues. This team is truly broken. This team is going to need a hard reset for sure. So it'll be interesting to see. Shout out to whoever the writer was who gave the A's the F-minus on the
that was funny
on the grade for the season. That's truly just how they've been playing. They've been playing awful. When you have an MLB stadium and your minor league teams are having a better attendance, that's a real issue. And I don't think there are minor league programs similar to, like, the Pirates, where we've seen the minor league program and the Indians, that's been successful now. It's not the same for the A's, just based on this roster alone. They are a rough team for sure.
We need Billy Bean back as general manager, not the vice president of baseball operations. Back as general manager, we need a Moneyball Part 2 for the Athletics. And the NL, however, the Braves in first place at 19-10, three games ahead of the Marlins and the Mets, who are three games behind. And the Mets split with the Braves yesterday in a doubleheader game, but 4-6 in their last 10. The Braves 5-5. So it's really anyone's division right now. We look at the last 10 of these teams: 5-5, 6-4, 4-6, 7-3. That was the Phillies, and 5-5 for the Nationals, the 10-win Nationals.
I really think the Mets are a team that if they can get Scherzer back after the suspension and if they can get Verlander off the IL, I think that this is a team that can somewhat be really decent. I mean, it could be something similar to the Nationals of 2019 when they had a rough start through the first 50 games and then fixed it through the playoffs. I think that could be something we see with the Mets. But right now, the Braves are the best team in that division. So it's interesting to see for sure. I'm not surprised to see that the Braves have been decent.
I'm excited to see Justin Verlander back. They said he was expected to come back very shortly off the IL, so hopefully that all goes to plan. But in the NL Central, we mentioned earlier, the Pirates in first place at 20-9, a 20-win team in the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they are a game and a half ahead of the Brewers. And then in third place, the Cubs, 4.5 games back.
They just needed to bring McCutchen back. That solved all of the Pirates' issues. Noah, shout out to the Pirates. Enjoy this while you can, because I still feel like we're going to end up seeing Brewers be the ones to represent the NL Central. But no, it's going to be interesting to see for sure as we get later into the season. But it's really exciting to see right now for Pittsburgh. So enjoy it for now, because Pittsburgh, teams in general for Pittsburgh over the last couple seasons haven't been up to par compared to seasons past.
And we see the Pirates now with the extended playoffs that there's a really good chance that they'll make the playoffs as a wild card if the Brewers end up winning the division. But hey, we might see them just run away with it after the All-Star break. That's really when teams either fold under the pressure or pressure makes diamonds after the All-Star break. But the Cardinals in last place at 10-19, 10 games back from the Pirates. If you were to tell me 5 or 6 years ago that the Cardinals would be in last place and the Pirates would be in first, I thought you were crazy.
I mean, even last season, we saw the Cardinals make the playoffs. I thought that they may have a chance to do decent, and now they've been struggling. It's a sharp decline.
In the NL West, Max, you finally don't have to talk about your screenshot anymore. The Dodgers in first place, a half game ahead of the Diamondbacks, 17-13. Diamondbacks, 16-13. And then the Padres, 16-14. So very, very close in between the first three teams. So could we see the Diamondbacks move back to third place? Could we see them move up to first place?
It's such a young season, but this is why you listen to me, people. I know baseball, obviously.
Baseball, Max, right here. This is our baseball guy, but that's going to do it. And we see the Giants, by the way, at 11-17 and the Rockies at 9-20, really struggling there. But going to read the big board here for you guys. The WBDG 57 Marathon coming up May 5th and 6th. That's this Friday and Saturday. And we've almost hit our goal of $2,500. We're very, very close. We're going to have prize giveaways, guests, great radio music, and 40 hours of radio if you want to call in to donate or help out with the program. That's 317-988-7122. That's 317-988-7122. The Arts Alive, Saturday, May 6th, all day until 4 p.m., celebration of art in Wayne Township. The next baseball broadcast, we will have Warren Central at Ben Davis at 5:30 p.m. His first pitch, May 3rd. That is tomorrow. 26 days to the Indy 500. A big event there. I know that Max and I will go. I know I will be going as a fan. Max, still undecided going as a fan or working?
Yeah, at this point, I'm not quite sure. It's probably going to end up being a fan right now, just waiting for the interviews process. It hasn't even started yet. But either way, I'm going to be there. I'm really excited. Bump Day is going to be back. That's going to be fun. This is going to be a really exciting Indy 500. And, I mean, we saw Marcus Erickson get the win last year. Is he going to win again? I doubt it, but you never know.
That's the thing about Indy. You never know. At WBDG Indy, except for TikTok, that's Giant 90.9. Those are our socials. And if you want to request a song, it's 317-244-9234. It's 317-244-WBDG. Podcast on Audio Boom that will upload to your favorite podcasting websites, everything like that. And School Talk Friday at 7:30 a.m. Replays at Sunday at 2 p.m. Max, you're the producer. What are we looking for this week?
We're getting you ready for the marathon. It's the pre-show for the WBDG 57 Marathon, May 5th and 6th, 8 to midnight both days. It's going to be really fun. If you've been paying attention to the socials, we have a lot of great prizes. We're picking up a couple more, but just stay tuned. This is going to be a marathon we talk about for years to come.
For sure. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Sports Spotlight here in Indy's Giant 90.9. This has been Owen Pauly, Max Gailey, and Lucas McGee. Have a good day.
Giants lead 2-1 on bottom of the fifth. There's the hit. Lewis runs to first base. He looks like he just ran a marathon.
Speaking of marathon, WBDG is having their 57th radio marathon May 5th through the 6th.
What are you talking about, man? Just analyze the game.
Speaking of talking, WBDG will be talking to guests and playing music.
Enough of this marathon. Call the game.
That reminds me, you can call at 317-244-9234 to request music for the marathon. And don't worry, they'll be playing 40 straight hours of it, so you can request at any time.
This is the championship game. Focus on the game.
Sorry, I got distracted.
Good. Now then, Giants lead 2-1, and it seems like they're going to win the grand prize.
On the topic of prizes...
No.
WBDG's 57th marathon will be giving out 40 prizes. All you have to do is call in at our prize line.
Stop distracting me. I already forgot what happened.
Oh, sorry.
Let's just get back to the game.